turkey tail is a really cool one. It's one of the first ones that I learned how to forage in Oregon. It's actually an approved cancer treatment all by itself in Japan, and it's being studied right now in the United States for the same thing. So it's a really powerful, like, immune support. It has this polysaccharide that's known to be very effective at killing cancer cells.
You're listening to the Our Town Reno podcast with KWNK LP 97.7 FM in Reno, Nevada. I'm your host, Jacob Kosachowski, and the clip you just heard was from an interview Gaia Osborne did with Walker Sauls, the co-owner of Biggest Little Mushrooms. Biggest Little Mushrooms is a gourmet mushroom farm here in Reno. Hear about different kinds of mushrooms, possible health benefits, and more. But first, a word from our sponsor, and we'll get right into the episode.
Welcome.
Hello.
We are the Reynolds Media Lab.
Media Lab.
Podcasts.
Client services.
Special projects.
Documentaries.
We are a production center at the Reynolds School of Journalism.
The Reynolds Media Lab.
Media Lab.
Media Lab.
Hello, Our Town Reno podcast listeners. My name is Guy Osborne, and I am here today with Walker Sauls, co-owner and head cultivator at Biggest Little Mushrooms. Hi, Walker. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well.
So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of like what originally piqued your interest and fascination with mushrooms before your business even kind of came about?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a Reno native, mm-hmm. born and raised here. And I went to UNR for environmental science. I got my bachelor's degree. Right after graduating, I moved up to Oregon to kind of get out of my hometown and experience more of the world, I guess. And it was up there, I was just kind of serving tables, trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my degree and my life. And I noticed that there were mushrooms growing all around me. I got kind of just like fascinated by them.
What was it about mushrooms that kind of like fascinated you? Do you think?
Well, honestly, I think it was just the fact that they have medicinal properties that mm-hmm. can help people with their health, their mental health. And then when I started researching them more, I learned that they can actually be very beneficial for the environment. And I've always loved going out, hiking in nature, and just experiencing the outdoors. So I found that going out and doing all that stuff that I love anyways, I could also go and look for these different kinds of mushrooms. And it kind of turned into like an adult Easter egg hunt, you could say.
So you were saying that mushrooms have like these medicinal properties. Could you kind of, for people that don't know, explain like what exactly they can help people with?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are several species that have wide-ranging medicinal benefits. There are actually a lot of species that do. Several of them are more popular, and you'll see them more widely dispersed. One of them is like lion's mane. That one can help with memory and your nervous system. It's kind of like a brain support mushroom. Cordyceps is another very popular one. That one helps with things like energy, stamina. It helps oxygenate the blood, among other things. These are just their most, well-known benefits. Reishi is a very ancient mushroom that's been used in traditional Chinese medicine for a very long time. It helps with your like immune support, anti-inflammation. It can help with allergies, sleep. It's a very wide-ranging one. Turkey tail is a really cool one. It's one of the first ones that I learned how to forage in Oregon. It's actually an approved cancer treatment all by itself in Japan, and it's being studied right now in the United States for the same thing. So it's a really powerful like immune support. It has this polysaccharide that's known to be very effective at killing cancer cells.
That's cool.
And then there is the last one I'll mention is chaga. It's also a very kind of ancient traditional medicine. And it can be great for like hair, skin, nails, anti-inflammation, gut health, things like that. So I started learning about those. There's also a lot of support and studies happening for psilocybin mushrooms, which are actives that aren't exactly legal right now in Nevada, but they are gaining a lot of support. Mm-hmm. It seems like states are starting to legalize them. They are now allowed for therapeutic use in both Oregon and Colorado. And that also fascinated me for their potential benefits for people's mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like there's a lot of anecdotal reports, and that's it's a very interesting kind of place that we're getting to in terms of the scientific studies that are backing what a lot of people have thought for a very long time. So those interest me as well. However, that is not part of my business, as they are illegal. We'll see where things go. I'm definitely a supporter of, you know, being able to get that kind of medicine out to people who need it.
Yeah, and then you mentioned your business. So Biggest Little Mushrooms, you're the co-owner and head cultivator.
Yeah, yes, I am. So I, after living in Oregon for about 4 years, just studying, learning, foraging, just like as a hobby with mushrooms, I moved back down here and I kind of had a fresh start. And like I mentioned, I had learned that you could grow mushrooms very sustainably. And I realized that I could kind of merge my interest in mushrooms with my passion for environmental stewardship, what I went to school for. So I decided to start experimenting with growing mushrooms in the high desert. And that was about 2.5 years ago, right at the start of COVID. And I had a lot of kind of like time on my hands. And I did some experimental grows for about 6 months, figured out a good system that worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got my LLC, and I got my first commercial client about 2 years ago, and I was off to the races.
So for people that don't know, like, what can you kind of briefly explain, like, the process of growing mushrooms and, like, kind of, like, how you do it?
Yeah, I will do my best to keep it as simple as possible.
Yeah.
So you basically start out with a spore. And mm-hmm. two spores germinate, and they kind of like mate and grow together, and they create what's called a network of mycelium. Mycelium is the kind of like the body of the mushroom. If it was like an iceberg, it would be all the part that's underneath the water. Mycelium will metabolize the food that's in the soil or in like a dead tree, for example. It'll break down nutrients and absorb them. And then it will form a mushroom. So it'll be a network of mycelium. And when the conditions are right and it's absorbed enough nutrients, it will form a mushroom. And that process, the way that I do it, I'll take cultures of mycelium and I will inoculate sterilized grains with that mycelium. That takes about 2 weeks to colonize. It has to colonize fully. And then I take those colonized grains and I inoculate them into the mushroom food,
okay,
what you'd call the substrate. And that is also sterilized. I do this all in a clean laboratory. And once that is inoculated, it takes about another 2 weeks, depending on the species, it can be more. And once that's fully colonized, I put that, it's called a fruiting block, into my grow rooms,
mm-hmm,
and introduce it to the right conditions, which would be like more airflow, higher humidity, a temperature change, and that initiates mushrooms to start forming. And once they start growing, it only takes about a week for them to go from babies to fully mature mushrooms.
And that's when you can like cut them down and...
Yeah, that's when I'll harvest them, and they're ready to go off as soon as possible to my customers, because they really only have like a 3 to 5 day shelf life until I don't want to sell them anymore.
That's like one of the negative things about mushrooms is the shelf life.
Yeah, that's kind of like one of the one of the things that gives me a headache sometimes.
But you can make, because I saw on your Instagram, like, you make them into different products that you sell. So can you maybe like talk about that a bit more?
Yeah, definitely. So what you can do with some with fresh mushrooms is you can dry them out and you can like powder them up and you can sell them as like a powder, which is probably not as like tasty or gourmet, but you still get a lot of the nutrients and benefits that way. I've also made like mushroom jerky before, which is a dehydrated mushroom that's marinated and it has a longer shelf life. You can ferment mushrooms, which I've experimented with, but that's not something I sell right now. But what I have been selling a lot of recently are medicinal mushroom tinctures. So those five species that I mentioned earlier, I take dried mushrooms of those kinds, and I will do a dual extraction where I will use alcohol and water to extract the medicinal components out of them and then bottle them up in tincture form and sell them as a medicinal supplement to people.
That's cool. And they use that for those health benefits that you kind of mentioned earlier.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what they're used for, those benefits that I mentioned.
That's cool. And then, you know, when your growing process kind of, you were saying that you grow your mushrooms in as like a sustainable way as possible. Kind of like, what do you do differently to make that like sustainable change in your growing process?
Yeah, definitely. So mushrooms inherently, they grow on kind of like agricultural waste streams. So things that people otherwise wouldn't use. So I use like wood shavings. I use the hull of soybeans also in my grow operation. I've grown a lot of mushrooms on spent coffee grounds too. So that's kind of just like inherently a benefit to the environment. You're just growing them on things that otherwise would go to waste. Some other things I do in my grow operation is I use like fully compostable packaging and try and go as like low on single-use plastics as possible. And it, you know, it costs a little bit more, but in my opinion, it's worth it to have that lower footprint. Another thing that I'll do is I won't really temperature control my grow room, so they're all just like very natural in terms of the temperature, and I will grow different species in different seasons. So in the winter time, I'll grow mushrooms that thrive more in colder weather, and in the summertime, I'll grow more warm weather species, and that's a way that I can cut back on the environmental impact. I also have a lot of plans in the future to continue to go more sustainable. I would love to eventually get solar panels and power most of my farm on solar energy. They don't really require too much lighting, so I use just LED light strips in my rooms. It's not like growing plants where you have to have a bunch of high-powered
like grow lights and stuff.
Grow lights, yeah. It's pretty easy. You know, they're mushrooms. They like kind of just dark, moist environments, so it's pretty chill.
We'll get back to our episode momentarily, but first, a quick word from other podcasts in Reno you should listen to.
Do you want to keep up on what's happening in the local art community? Double Scoop always has the scoop on that. Want to know which exhibitions, parties, and other art events are happening this weekend? Follow us on Instagram at Double Scoop Nevada and listen to KWNK 97.7 FM for our short scoop art events roundup. If you're an artist and you're looking for places to show your work, we have lots of opportunities listed right now. To find them, visit doublescoop.art/events and filter for Call for Artists. If you'd like to follow all of our art news and meet local artists, you can sign up for our email lists at doublescoop.art.
Do you like podcasts? Well, we have a podcast from you. This is Sean from Up in the Mix.
This is Della Foto. Do you like to get into random wormholes of conversation?
Do you like to learn about the culture from sneakers to hip-hop music to basketball?
Then we have a podcast just for you. We have one called Up in the Mix.
It is available on all streaming platforms from Spotify to Apple. Check us out, upinthemix.live, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Salud!
Welcome back to the Our Town Reno podcast. Let's continue our conversation with Walker Sauls.
So, like, how do you, when you're foraging, what do you kind of, like, look for? Do you, like, know which areas you're going to go to, or are you kind of, like, walking around until you, like, spot something?
You know, it's a little bit of both. Like, I feel like there is part of it where you're just kind of going out there trying to follow your intuition, but it's also, like, matching that with knowing the environment that mm-hmm. they grow in. So if it's like morels, they, like, around here, they like fir trees and cedar trees. So you're looking for a certain type of tree. Mm-hmm. Or you're looking for a certain slope of the mountain, like north-facing slopes retain more water. So they're going to possibly have more mushrooms or mushrooms going later into the season. So you're kind of looking for, like, the environment. A lot of the times they'll come up after rainstorms. So you go out a few days after a rainstorm, you'll have a better chance. Mm-hmm. But again, in my experience, it's also, like, there's, like, another aspect to it, and it's more like the mushrooms find you. And it's just, like, at the times you least expect it or whatever, you'll be looking all day, and then all of a sudden you'll almost step on one. You're just like, oh, I didn't expect that. So it's, like, there's a little bit of, like, that, mm-hmm. I don't know how to put it, aspect to it.
Is there, like, ethics around? Because I know with, like, certain species of wildflowers, like, you're not supposed to, like, mess with them or, like, take them with you, or is that the same thing with mushrooms, where they're pretty much like a free-for-all?
Man, I wouldn't say it's a free-for-all.
Are there rules, like, you're only supposed to, like, take a certain amount of it, or?
Yeah, there are rules, and you'd have to look up, like, the different counties, mm-hmm. like, in certain areas. Like, I've gotten commercial foraging licenses. If you want to harvest, like, more than, like, a gallon of morels or something like that, you have to get a license. I think there are different rules for different mushrooms. I know there are some species that are, like, very prized, and I mm-hmm. think it would be, like, frowned upon if you did take them. I'm not exactly sure on that. And then there's kind of, like, a rule of thumb from a lot of the people that I've talked to about this, and just my intuition. You don't want to take the babies, like the little babies that are growing. If they haven't had a chance, this is my thought on it. If they hadn't had a chance to open up their gills or whatever it is and spread their spores, spread their genetics, then you probably shouldn't take them. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're just little young ones, like, you know, give them a chance to do their thing.
Then
there's going to be more next year for the next generation or whatever. It's just like a good rule of thumb, in my opinion.
So you'll be out, like, foraging. And so in order to grow the mushrooms yourself, like, back at your farm, do you have to, like, take the spores off the ones that you find in the wild?
That would be a really cool way to do it. But I source my strains from commercial companies
okay.
or friends that also run mushroom farms that have either gotten them from the wild or gotten them from commercial companies. And that's because these strains have been tried and true, like, tested to perform well for commercial viability.
Okay, that makes sense.
Not every strain in the wild is going to form big, like, clusters of mushrooms that are going to yield high, and that's kind of what you need if you're running a business. You need consistency and you're looking to make money. So I get really high performing strains, and that's what I use. Maybe one day, once, like, I'm a little bit more of a master at this, I'll take a deeper dive mm-hmm. into, it would be called, like, breeding, I guess. And it just takes a lot of time and some patience, and that I'd say I have patience, but time is something that I don't have a whole lot of right now.
So that means you can grow mushrooms that wouldn't, like, naturally be found here.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah. I do everything indoors. So I'm kind of, like, creating. You can't grow mushrooms outdoors in Nevada, really, especially commercially. You might be able to grow a couple species in, like, a shady spot in your yard. But what I do is I kind of recreate rainforest conditions inside. So I have indoor rooms that have humidity pumping into them, and it's all kind of, like, regulated on, like, humidistats, mm-hmm. so it's all automated, and there's fresh air exchange and that little bit of lighting, and that's really all they need, mainly the humidity, I would say. but I mean all of it, but that's the big factor in Nevada. And then they just need to be super clean. Like everything needs to be super sterile because you're pretty much like creating this environment for any little microbe to thrive in. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure the mushroom mycelium is happy and pretty much the only thing that's doing its thing in there. So that's might be my least favorite part of the job.
Have you had any batches that got contaminated and like ruined?
Oh, most definitely. I think really? I would be like a mushroom star if I didn't. I mean, that's like if anybody's looking to get into mycology, expect some failures. Mm-hmm. And don't look at it as a failure. Look at it as an opportunity to grow and know that it does get easier.
Are there a lot of other people in Reno doing the same thing that you're doing? You're kind of like the only one.
You know, when I started, I was the only one.
When did you switch here? Did you officially like start your business?
It was a little over 2 years ago now.
Okay.
Yeah, that's when I like got my first paycheck, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Do you do it full time now or is it still like a side hustle?
Yeah, I mean, after the first like 6 months or so, it turned into my full time thing. I have grown it to where I'm now supplying 7 different restaurants, the Great Basin Food Co-op and Riverside Farmers Market, which is a fantastic farmers market. I can't recommend it mm-hmm. enough. I mean, everybody that I work with, honestly, is great. And it's turned into kind of like this, yeah, like this beast that I can't control. So I'm growing and selling between like 100 and 150 pounds of mushrooms a week. And
oh, that's crazy.
It is quite a bit of labor. I mean, just like the cleaning, just organizing all of the back end business stuff.
And you're doing it by yourself or do you have any help?
I actually just hired somebody mm-hmm. about 3 months ago and it's been great so far. So it's kind of like it's like a slow ramp up of hours as I get more clients and I'm able to, I now have the supplemental income of selling tinctures. So it's been a slow growth of the business, but things are definitely going well. And it's, you know, it's been growing over the past 2 years, but it's been a lot of work. I mean, it's like, I think you can expect that starting a mm-hmm. business. It's like a grind for at least a few years. I don't know how much longer.
So with the like restaurants, you kind of have like a contract where they'll like order however many mushrooms of whatever species they want.
Well, there's no contract, but it's more of just like a, it's like an agreement, like an old school handshake type thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's pretty much the restaurants generally order around the same amount per week.
Mm-hmm.
So I normally do one delivery per week to each restaurant that I supply. Some order more than others. And to the co-op, I do 2 deliveries a week because they're like a grocery store type style. And then at the Riverside Farmers Market, I just I get to interact with my customers and sell fresh mushrooms. Like generally, they're harvested in the past day or that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just get them like straight out to people.
So summer is like your busiest time of year then with all the farmers markets every weekend?
Actually, I only do the Riverside Market and it's Reno's only year-round market. So
I didn't know it was year-round.
Yeah, so it's I'll be there Saturday. It's
okay.
Every Saturday from 9 until noon, all winter, spring, summer, fall. And it's again, it's super cool. It's been a great like outlet for me and just like a really cool way to connect with community and other farmers. And yeah, check it out.
Well, and what restaurants are you in town?
Yeah, so I am in I'm in Estella Tacos and Mezcal. Excuse me. I'm in Centro South, which is in the Ranchera, the village at Ranchera. I sell to a restaurant in Carson City called Cucina Lupo, which is great.
They do really good pizza.
I think you're thinking of Pizzeria Lupo.
Oh, is it different?
This one's in Carson City, and it's owned by the same person. So he...
Okay.
Yeah, he also owns... his name's Mark Estes. He's a really great chef in town. He also owns Liberty, which...
Food and Wine Exchange.
Yeah, so yeah. I sell to them. They were actually the first restaurant I started selling to. I sell to the club at Ranchera. I'm trying to think of the other... I just started selling to Califuria, which is a cool restaurant in Midtown. They're only open on the weekends, I believe. And I sell to a Mexican restaurant in Carson called San Marcos Grill.
And do you have, like,
that's all.
any plans in the future, like, to expand into other grocery stores or other things?
You know, I see a lot of potential for expansion in this industry. I see a lot of people, like, picking up on mushrooms and thinking how cool they are. Like, it's kind of like this wave. Mm-hmm. And I think it's well-backed and well-founded. So, yes, I do have plans to expand, but I'm not sure I want to just grow a ton more mushrooms.
Yeah.
I think there's more interesting routes to explore in mycology, and I really am fascinated in making just really, like, high-quality medicine and supplements. I've been doing a lot of, like, research, and, again, they have a longer shelf life, so it seems like the business model is just a little bit, makes a little bit more sense on my end. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely not planning on going anywhere, like, with what I have going on right now. I love being able to supply very healthy superfoods to the community, and my plan with that is really just become more efficient, be able to grow more in the same space, and just, like, really continue to dial in my processes, which I have been. And then beyond that, I have a couple other just, like, ideas in the works that have to do with kind of empowering people to be able to do these kind of things on their own, I guess, because I get a lot of interest from people wanting to experiment with this kind of stuff.
So, and like, workshops or something like that?
Yeah, workshops, education, different, like, type, like, allowing, like, grow kits, that kind of thing.
That'd be cool.
And it's kind of like teaching a man to fish, right? It's like, get the power, like, yeah, allow people to have that experience and take it into their own hands.
And then my last fun question is, do you have a favorite type of mushroom? And if you do, like, what would it be? Or a favorite, like, recipe?
Oh, man, yeah. I'd say I definitely have a favorite recipe. It's one that I just did with my family over Thanksgiving, and it's lion's mane crab cakes. Ooh. So lion's mane has, like, a crab texture and flavor to it, and there's a really good recipe on foragerchef.com. Just look up lion's mane crab cakes, and you just replace crab with lion's mane, pretty much, and it is so good.
Because a lot of vegan places are, like, using mushrooms to, like, replace meat. Because the textures some would consider to be, like, pretty similar.
Yeah, I think that's a big reason for it. And also, mushrooms are very high in protein. Mm-hmm. So, like, the oyster mushrooms that I sell, if you don't account for the water in them, they're, like, 30% protein, which is super high. And it's, like, a complete protein. So they truly are a great meat replacement. Oyster mushroom tacos are great. If you haven't tried the oyster mushroom tacos at Estella Tacos and Mezcal that they buy from me, I know I'm a little bit biased, but seriously, these tacos are bomb.
So yeah, thank you, Walker, for taking the time to speak to me today. It was really interesting to learn more about mushrooms and your business.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure.
And make sure you follow at Biggest Little Mushrooms on Instagram so that you can keep up to date with all their upcoming events and get your hands on some of Walker's mushrooms.
Thank you for listening to this Our Town Reno podcast episode. Here we have stories about gentrification, life on the streets, the affordable housing crisis. Find us on Facebook at Our Town Reno, at ourtownreno.com, and on Instagram at Biggest Little Streets. Check back in for next week's episode or delve into our archives, and remember, help each other out.